Praise God. Thank you very much. You have your Bible, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6.
We're beginning a new series on demonology. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's read from verse 12 onwards. Let me read from verse 10. Verse 10, all right, on to verse 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you as we seek to understand the realm of the Spirit, that we may wage a good warfare in you. We thank you, Father God, that you will cause our eyes to be open and our understanding to be enlightened, that we may understand all that the enemy system and structure and weapons is, that we may, Father, be able to wage a good warfare against them. We pray, Father God, that each one of your believers in this teaching series will gain an understanding of their position in Christ, that they may no more fear the enemy, that they may no more fear demonic forces, that they may no more fear the curse or charms that the enemy has tried to put on their lives. And we pray, Father God, that you will cause such an understanding to arise, that every wrong teaching in this area, every wrong emphasis in this area will be corrected. So, Father, we promise to always give you praise, glory, and honor. And Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. As an introduction, we want to see the structure of the enemy's kingdom. Satan is a spiritual entity, and so are all his demonic powers. And as we come across Bible passages regarding them, we need an understanding of that realm of the Spirit, so that we don't, not that we may be afraid of them, but that we may know our victory and authority over their lives and their schemes and their devices. The Bible tells us, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The first exhortation to be wise as serpents is spoken by Paul in a different way, where he says we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. To be wise as serpents means all that the serpent knows, you know. You know everything that he knows, and you know his schemes. It's also an emphasis on, because it's strange for Jesus to emphasize being wise as serpents, knowing serpents are not representative of good things. So in his emphasis, as he sent his disciples 2 by 2, he's telling us to be aware of the works of the enemy. As Paul says, not to be ignorant of their devices. The enemy's kingdom is divided into 4 major ranks. Of course, it's Satan at the head. And here are the 4 ranks given to us. Paul says we wrestle not against fleshly or physical forces, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. These are the 4 ranks of the enemy's forces. They are principalities, they are powers, they are rulers of the darkness of this age, and they are the spiritual wickedness in the high places. Of all these 4, the greatest among them, the most powerful force among them, the strongest among them, I'm speaking in relation to them, as far as they to us, they are powerless, is the spiritual wickedness in high places. The spiritual wickedness in high places consists of all the fallen angels. And these are demonic forces that can fly, that can move in the air. Not all demons can fly. Not all demons make their abode in the heavenlies above. John Bunyan has a book that is out of print now. I'm trying to get a book, but it's a marvelous book on the heavenlies, on the vision that he wrote. John Bunyan is the same one who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Now he has a book on the spiritual world, where in prison, when he wrote the book, he also saw the spiritual world, And he saw the spiritual world, the world, planet Earth, covered by a blanket of thick darkness. And this thick darkness consists of demonic powers who have made their thrones on the atmosphere of this Earth. And these demons do not like to dwell on the planet Earth at all. They prefer to dwell in the heavenlies. It is all over the area of the atmosphere of the Earth, high above. That is why Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. For the first rank of Satan, whom he depends on, the council of demonic forces, fallen angels he relies on, is consisting of all these demon spirits in the air. All the other three ranks, rulers of the darkness of this age, principalities and powers, are lower rank and they dwell on this planet Earth. It's the first rank that are Satan's cream of the crop. These are the fallen angels. And these same fallen angels are those who, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, how a third of them, the dragon swept a third of the stars, and a third of them followed Satan. And these former angels, they were former angels, followed Satan and became what we call spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. These are the fallen angels. And some of these fallen angels got tremendous power. In Genesis chapter 6, it is these fallen angels who mix with humanity trying to corrupt the seed of Adam. Let's look at that first ring of satanic force. Looking first at the book of Revelation, giving you all the scriptures possible on this subject. Chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head." That represents Satan. "His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour the child as soon as it was born." So a third of the stars was swept. And this incident happened way back before God created Adam and Eve. Way back before Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Way back in those early days when God created the angels. And Satan was known as Lucifer. And he was a shiny being, an anointed cherub. But sin came into his life. He wanted to be like God. And when he did so, God defeated him and God banished him and removed all his power. So Satan and a third of all the angels were removed from the heavenly realm. And they were cast down into the darkness that was on this planet Earth before God created Adam and Eve. These fallen angels have been there all the time. And when God created Adam and Eve, they were all watching. They were all watching. And they realized that in the Garden of Eden, Satan stopped corrupting as they remembered that serpent. And as he started corrupting them, to them he gained authority on this earth. Satan's authority today is based on the authority he stole from Adam and Eve. See, Satan was judged by God before. And he had no power and no authority at all. Until he went into the Garden of Eden and took the authority of Adam and Eve by deception. And today, he reigns over the world as the small g god of this world through authority that originally belonged to Adam. That is why in Christ we have authority of the devil. We have authority over him, for Christ defeated him. Whosoever accepted Christ receives complete dominion over Satan. Satan is reduced back to nothing, to Christ. And these fallen angels in Genesis chapter 6, we believe that these are fallen angels because of the phraseology of the Bible. In chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 1, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." The sons of God, this phrase occurs four times in the Old Testament. Three of those times it appears in the book of Job. If you remember, the sons of God appear before God, and that was when Satan also came along. The word sons of God is a phrase that refers to the angels in the Old Testament. Sons of God. And these sons of God, some interpret to be what you call the good people, the line of Seth, while the daughters of men were the line of Cain. But that wouldn't be right, because it mentioned the daughters of men. Why didn't it mention the sons of men? Why mention just daughters? So there are a few things that is inconsistent in that. That is, number one, why we cannot accept the sons of God as human beings who are righteous is because, number one, the context of sons of God in the Old Testament, each time is used, refer to the angels. Four times it's used. If three times it refers to the angels, then it's obviously the other time will follow the three times to be consistent. That's the first reason why we interpret the angels. The second reason is, if you interpret sons of God to be the good people, then you're saying that holiness is by inheritance. That is, because they are the line of Seth, therefore they are holy. And because these others are daughters of women, are the line of Cain, therefore they are unholy. So when the line of Seth and the line of Cain mixed, therefore they became unholy. You are saying that holiness is in the genes, which is perfectly wrong. Holiness has nothing to do with the physical genes or physical genealogy. Even if your father were Martin Luther himself, it does not mean that you are holy. See, holiness does not depend on the genes or who your father is. Holiness depends on your relationship with God, how you respond to God. Your father may be King Ahab, but you turn to the Lord, you will be holy. So it has no reference as to the genes. That is the second reason why we cannot accept the interpretation of fallen angels for that, of sons of men or human beings as the sons of God in that passage. The third reason is because of the offspring. When the sons of God and the sons and daughters of men mixed, giants were born. There was a genetical change. There was an inhuman response or birth that came forth. Giants were born. It's very highly unusual for that to happen. There seems to be a nature of change. Something that was corrupted in nature itself to produce giants. Otherwise, if Seth and his line was never giants, and Cain and his line were never giants, they were like Adam, there's no reason why suddenly along the way there comes this giant. Let's suppose that your genealogy was from India, right? The great 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 right on to the early days was from India, and you from India, and suddenly you gave birth to a blue eye, blonde, fair skin, a little baby. Now you're wondering where that came from. Maybe along the line there was a mixture. See, you trace it back. And so in the same way, it cannot just suddenly happen that way, that suddenly there were giants. When we see Cain and Seth and all these, they were normal human beings. So there seems to be, in the third reason, a genetical change that took place. And remember, genetical change can take place and be affected from the spirit realm. I know that human beings are splicing genes, trying to affect genetical change physically, but not very successfully. But genetical change can be caused from the spirit realm. The spirit realm reigns over the natural. The fourth reason why we cannot accept the sons of God as human beings, but rather as fallen angels, is because of two other passages in the New Testament that refer to them as fallen angels. That's the strongest support you can. Scripture interprets scripture. Where are those two passages? First, then to the epistle of Jude. Jude, no chapter, but just Jude. And Jude, let's look at verse 6 and verse 7. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Think about that for a moment. He says, there are angels who have left their domain. In the Greek it says, who have left their natural habitation. And today, Jude writing says, they are in chains. You and I know that the fallen angels today are still loose. Satan and his demons are still loose. They are not chained yet. So who are these fallen angels whom God specially chained them up? The next verse tells us why He chained them up and who they are, what they have done, what special crime did they do. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. When you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you think of? Sexual immorality. Now, I want you to notice the first two phrases in verse 7. As Sodom. It talks about the angels who have left their domain and came down as Sodom and Gomorrah, so did they sin. To make the emphasis clearer, he says, in a similar manner to them. Even from Jude, verse 6 and 7, you would have to conclude that this group of angels had committed some sort of immoral act physically. Where can you trace it to except Genesis 6? That is why this particular group of fallen angels are locked up today. Their crime was so hideous that God straight away locked them up. Even Satan today is not locked up yet. One day he will. And some of his fallen angels are not locked up yet. Neither are the demons. They are still running loose. Vagabonds. So why must this special group be locked up? Because of their special sin. They justify God to lock them up. Let's look at 2 Peter. See, sometimes because human beings find it hard to accept some of the things the Bible says, we will rather rationalize that Genesis 6 were human beings. Because we in the natural find it hard to accept such a possibility. That is why if you read theological books, some theologians who are too mind-based, I call them, find it hard to accept it when the scriptures so clearly reveal it. My philosophy is, if the Bible says it, let's accept it whether we can understand it or not. If the Bible clearly says something that I don't fully understand, I will accept it first as a fact. And then later let God help me to understand it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now these are the same group of fallen angels. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Now, isn't that marvelous? He speaks about fallen angels in the context of Noah and the flood. Now, with this New Testament revelation, we realize that the New Testament writers understood that Genesis 6 refers to fallen angels. And in case some of you ladies are getting worried whether there's a loose angel out there waiting to attack you and molest you, they're all locked up, thank God. That's the reason why God locked them up. They're all locked up today because of their special ability and sin. We find it hard to comprehend, but it's there. Is it what about the other Bible passages that tells us that angels neither marry nor are given in marriage in heaven? Well, that's their position. That's their position. But somehow there was this particular group, we call them unique or peculiar, who seems to have a special ability to do that, to have sexual relationship with women and reproduce. And we call them peculiar, right? We don't understand all the different types of angels. As we realize, there are many types of angels. There are warring angels, there are worship angels, there are ministering spirits. There are many types of angels. And this was a particular group that fell and came and followed Satan. And Satan specially commissioned them to pollute man's seed. He specially commissioned them. And just to give you a little thought, food for thought, isn't it remarkable that sexual temptation comes from demons? If demons have no relation to the sexual act and have no understanding, how come temptation comes from them? Isn't it marvelous? See, if the spirit world and demonic world does not understand the physical relationship between man and woman, how is it that they can tempt? So we realize that somehow along the way among these fallen demonic powers, among them were fallen angels who understood the act and could lure and tempt men into that kind of sin, and they themselves were locked up. Alright, that settles for fallen angels. There was a particular group that came in Genesis 6 and seek to pollute the seed of Adam. For God prophesied and said, the seed of the woman will bruise your head, it to Satan. And apparently Satan tried to corrupt the seed. If Satan had succeeded, there would be no more pure seed. Therefore God locked them up, and only eight were saved, Noah and his family. The other group of fallen angels that did not commit that crime or that sin became the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. If you have spiritual eyes open today, you will see in the atmosphere above the earth thrones, plural. All the fallen angels set up thrones in the air. That's where they reign. Their thrones are in the air, all over the atmospheric part of the earth. There is a realm of darkness that covers the earth today. A thick cloud of darkness. And these are demonic forces. There are many of them, fallen angels, who have followed Satan, and they set up their thrones up there with Satan ruling over them. They don't quite like to come and live on the planet earth. These are some of them who are warrior demons of Satan, and they can fly. They can move from place to place very rapidly in the air. It was some of these fallen demons and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places that Daniel, in his prayer, wrestled against. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, Gabriel came and told Daniel, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Gabriel said that he was coming to bring Daniel revelation. See, Gabriel was an archangel who was in the realm of bringing revelation to God's people. Michael was a special warring angel. And so as Gabriel came forth, the enemy tried to block him. And God sent a warring angel, Michael, and he routed the enemy, and Gabriel could come through. See, each angel has a special work and purpose. There are warring angels, there are messenger angels, there are worship angels. Different types of angels that God has created. There are cherubs, there are seraphims. Each are different. There are the four creatures around the throne. They are marvelous creations that we only have a glimpse of the spiritual world. When later one day we are over that side and we are all in the eternal shores, we will realize the vastness of the creatures that God has made. But here, in the book of Daniel, it tells us that the prince of Persia. Who is the prince of Persia? The prince of Persia was one of the fallen demons. One of the fallen angels. And all the fallen angels today, the biggest among them are ruling over nations. And all the nations of the world today have warring demons, or warring fallen angels that have set up thrones to rule over that nation. These are fallen angels, and they have set up their thrones. Sometimes the creation of a nation is taking place because of a demonic angelic work, a fallen angel at work. Sometimes the rise of a nation is the work of God's good angels. See, there's a war going on in that spiritual realm. And if God's angels succeed, you'll find a nation that is righteous rise. But whenever the fallen angels succeed, an evil nation rise, or a good nation becomes evil and becomes a very personification of evil and satanic rule. You see, how can they win? How can they succeed? They succeed whenever there's a lack of prayer. Which is why we want to talk about the spiritual world. How to fight each type of fallen demonic power. The main warfare that we fight with spiritual wickedness in high places is fasting and prayer. See, they are in that realm. So we fight a different warfare. Fasting and prayer are spiritual forces that we utilize. You see, how can the good angels lose? They can lose if there's not enough prayer. For the angels of God that work on our behalf depend on our prayers. Let me illustrate how it takes place. For example, God has given authority to Adam when he was on this planet Earth. He created him and he says, "I gave you dominion." In Genesis 1 verse 26. Satan comes and takes that dominion, so all the dominion over planet Earth belongs to Satan. He stole it. He usurped it. And he held it. And with that, he ruled and reigned as a small g god of this world. And today he's still deceiving nations. So Satan rules and reigns with all his fallen demons. Legally, Satan has a right. Remember, The world was given to Adam not freehold but leasehold. So how long is a leasehold? I don't know. It could be 6,000 years. You know the difference between freehold and leasehold? Freehold is yours forever and ever and ever. Leasehold could be, when you buy a house, they tell you leasehold, 99 years. It means when 99 years are up, you don't own it anymore. You only own it for 99 years. That is why as a leasehold of a house draws a close, the value of a house is not as much as one that is freehold. And when God gave this world, it was on leasehold. God was smart. He won't give freehold. Today, many governments are smart. They don't give freehold anymore. They give leasehold. Because they can take it back after the leasehold is over. So God gave the world on a leasehold. How do we know? You remember when Jesus was casting out demons? The demons always said, "Why do you come to trouble us before our time?" What time are they talking about? They know there's a time coming when the leasehold is over. So when Satan took over the world, he knows his time limit. He knows there's a certain time only, limited. He has a limited jurisdiction and authority that he has stolen. That after that time, God will personally step into the picture. And that was why when Jesus came early, after about 4,000 years of human history, the demons are scratching their bald heads and their black fur, wondering, how come you come so early? The leasehold is not finished yet. How come you disturb before our time? They were caught by surprise. Excuse me, doesn't mean that being bald is demonic. No way. Right? Don't you jump to such conclusions, you know. Don't you dare. But the reason I use the illustration is people always think demons are hairy, furry little creatures. No, they are hairy demons, they are also bald demons. And so, where were we? At the leasehold. Praise the Lord. And so Satan had a world over on leasehold. And he knows there's a time limit. And as far as the legality of it is concerned, God and the angels cannot just come and take over. Then why don't God just take everything over? Remember, if somebody obtains something legally, even if they are cruel, evil, and tyrant, and it legally belongs to them, and you come and take it from them, you are a robber. So God has to be very, very careful, and He's wise, that if He takes that authority back, He must do it in a legal way. Because if God becomes illegal, then where is God? Where is rule and order? You see how careful He has to be, how limited He has chosen Himself to manifest in law and order. There is a reason why He sent Jesus Christ legally to fight Satan. He fought Satan on His own turf, a plot of land. See, He sent Jesus to fight Satan as a man. Because Satan usurped it for man, and He sent Jesus as a man to legally overcome. He has to do it the legal way. Praise God, He succeeded. He succeeded. And right now, while those who accept what Christ has done, Satan has no legal hold on them anymore. But those who don't accept Him as Lord and His Lordship, Satan has a legal hold on them. And the major part of this world is still in his system. And when Satan tries to disturb the area around our lives, we have a legal right to cast him out and his demons out. Because legally, he has no more hold over our lives. And we have authority to go out and bring the proclamation of freedom to others, that they may accept it and be freed from that system of Satan. Now the angels cannot come and illegally do anything. See, remember when Gabriel and Michael the angel don't destroy and completely lock him up, it is not because they don't have the power to. It is because legally they could not do it yet. Please understand that when Michael and Gabriel do not lock Satan up, it is not because they don't have the power. It is because legally they could not do it. They have far greater power than Satan. Some people think that just because of these passages that Michael and Gabriel are on equal level with Satan, so they cannot come across. I read some books on that. Oh, he's an archangel, they are archangels too. There is a difference. Satan is a fallen archangel. With power and authority as an archangel, removed. And his authority is only Adam's authority. And the angels of God have far greater power than Satan. That is why it's no problem. It's the simplest thing when God said, Michael, go and lock Satan up. Yes, sir. And just lock him up. In the book of Revelation. Now, if Michael got the authority to do that and the power to do that, why didn't he do that earlier? Because it was not legally right to do it yet. The leasehold has not ended. When the leasehold ended, here he comes. So meanwhile, all the angels of God has no legal authority to interfere in the system that is going on down here. Except when human beings appeal for their intervention. You can see the whole setup. When men and women pray and say, God, we want your intervention, it gives the angels legal right to come in. That is how prayer works. Through our prayers, angels have a legal right to interfere on the world system. So that, for example, in the country, if there is enough prayer for the nation, God legally and His angels legally have a right to interfere in the affairs of a nation to bring it for good. But if there's a lack of prayer, they can only interfere for that much. And here is Daniel praying, and his prayers release the work of angels on his behalf. Then we had Satan's fallen angels. They became the princes over the nations. These are the warrior demons. That's how Satan has set up his kingdom. And as we look at this setup of Satan, since they are the first rank, the fallen angels are the first rank of Satan's demonic realm, our most important weapon against them is the weapons of fasting and prayer. When Daniel prayed, one man praying could begin to shake spiritual wickedness in the high places. It's not just ordinary prayer, it's a prayer that is in faith. A prayer that knows God's word. And it's those prayers that bring forth a tremendous release of angels at work. All of the work of the kingdom of God on this earth is highly dependent on angels. The Holy Spirit is at work, but the Holy Spirit is bringing forth as a commander-in-chief all over, bringing the angels into play. So in fasting and prayer, we shake the demonic world in the first rank. We have a great privilege to fast and pray. Let's look at the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Chapter 10, that's right. The angel said in verse 12, from the first day, he was on a 21-day fast, on the first day that you did it, God sent me. Isn't that powerful? When you set your heart to fast and pray, it brings angelic forces into the world system to turn it around for God. And he says, in chapter 9, he says, in verse 12, the last phrase, your words were heard, and I have come. What is the last phrase? Let's read it together. Because of your word. I have come because of your word. What words did he pray? He prayed a mighty prayer of fasting and praying, mourning in verse 2 for 21 days, 3 full weeks. At the very time that Gabriel was speaking to him, the 21-day fast had ended. But Gabriel was saying that from the first day, when he set his heart to pray and to fast, he was sent and he said, I am come because of your word. Our warfare with fallen angels rests on our fasting and our prayers. Prayers that are expressed in words. Your words have authority. Your words have authority. Tremendous authority. The reason why you are defeated is because your words have released the wrong things. And the angels will work because of your words that you speak out. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against. Now he's talking about wrestling. And in verse 13 it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And he talks about the whole armor. And then after putting on the whole armor, he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. My friends, wrestling with demonic forces is done in your prayer closet. When you fast and pray, you wrestle with the highest demonic realm, the fallen angels of God, the fallen angels of Satan, formerly of God, but no more. They have chosen the wrong ways, and your fasting and prayer shakes their kingdom. They have chosen the wrong ways, and your fasting and prayer shakes their kingdom. I can imagine each time you chose to fast and to pray, as you close yourself up in your closet and you are praying and fasting away for your nation, for your family, for whatsoever, in the atmosphere above the earth, where all these fallen angels are having their throne, they begin to hear, they begin to feel that shaking. And they say, hey, somebody is taking my throne. What is this earthquake that is happening up there? It's not an earthquake, it's an earthquake. What's happening to my throne? Hey, what's happening? And suddenly, as while they're shaking, they see more and more angels coming down from the throne of God. And they say, hey, what is this enemy forces coming all over the place? That something is happening. Somebody is giving them the signal. And if only they knew, there was a humble little saint. Some of it are those in quote-unquote, those are harmless little women hiding in their closets, praying in tongues, away, and they are shaking those demonic powers. And some of them seek God so much, and they fast and pray so much that while their thrones are shaking, suddenly with such prayer and force, you know, the throne fell off from under them. So much of our prayer. Can you imagine how upsetting it is to them when they fast and pray? Tremendous forces released. They are afraid of our fasting and prayer. Very, very afraid. We affect them directly through our fasting and through our prayer. The other three ranks of demonic forces are the rulers of the darkness of this age. Those are the second rank. And then the powers, the third rank, and the principalities. The rulers of the darkness of this age are the chief demons that possess people. They are the chief demons that rule on the earth. The fallen angels rule from the air. These are the chief demons that rule on the earth. And of all the demonic forces, only the ruler of the darkness of this age has the ability to open the door of a human soul and possess it. Only the ruler of the darkness of this age. See, this world is dark. And you remember when Jesus cast out the man with a legion of demons? He has a legion of demons. Let's look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Verse 8, Jesus says, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He said, there's the demon talking, "My name is Legion," and he says, "We are many." The person who is talking, saying his name is Legion, is a ruler of the darkness of this age. And all the others, when he says, "We are many," consisting of powers and principalities. These are the smaller demons. Some of them look like little Toyos. In fact, some of the fairy tales of this inn and Smurfs, these look exactly like those small little demons. Some of them are so small, running about like little fellows. And they all have different work involved. A lot of the planning involves the fallen angels, and all of the possessing of demons of human beings is the work of the rulers of the darkness of this age. The powers are demons that aid the rulers of the darkness of this age. The demons sometimes travel in groups and teams. Some are lone ranger demons, some have tontos. Some have a whole football team of demons following them. But always the demons have a leader. And on this earth, their prime and main leader is the wicked ruler of the darkness of this age. Some of these wicked rulers of the darkness of this age in their spiritual form are very tall. Once I saw a demon that's about 15 feet tall. That was in the early days of the ministry. And I was sleeping one night and there was a noise, and I felt evil presence come to the room. I was in Penang in those days. And when I woke up, I saw this huge, tall demon. Looked like a stick. Ugly face, big eyes, big ears. Just a little bit of fur, hair on the... fur or hair, whatever you call it. Didn't look like hair, but looked like a little bit of fur on the head. And then when I got up, and of course I proclaimed the name of Jesus, I saw this stick man or something, about 15 feet tall. He goes,
And he climbed up the window and he started walking big giant steps. And the dogs go, middle of the night. That was one of the ruler of the darkness of this age. They are spiritual forces that are work on the planet Earth. They can't fly. They only move on the plane of this earth in a general sense. They don't have, some demons have wings, those are fallen angels. But these do not have. There was this big guy, 15 feet tall, he was walking like the Wayan Gulet. And walking away. In early 1986, just before Jesus appeared to me, when I was praying, I saw a fallen angel. And he looked very different, he's a little bit bald, looking very evil but intelligent. Funny thing, he has spots all over him. Don't know where he got it from. And wearing a sort of whitish looking robe. Big ears and staring at me. And I stood up and stared back. And there was a few seconds that transpired before he just walked away. So there are different type of demons. Different type of demons. They are at play. And if you understand the different ranks, we can deal with them better. The fallen angels are grouped by themselves. The rulers of the darkness of this age are aided by the powers, the third rank. And the smallest rank are the principalities. Principalities don't have much authority. You know what they are? They are like decoys. Little pawns in a game. And what they do is, they can't possess you, but they distract you. They distract you with all kinds of things. Some of these computer games have a lot of little principalities involved. They just get you hooked onto something. And you are just distracted from the more important things of life. There you are, facing a dumb machine. I mean, there's a spirit involved. There's a spirit involved that hooks you. Then you're playing the game. Can you imagine people spending 6 hours on that? Some of the little kids. These kids don't grow up very intelligent. They miss the best of life. They don't learn the right things of life. Principles of life. I get all my book kids on books early. Get on the right information. And we don't have computer games except those that are approved. But certain ones that are educational, teaching math, science, etc. But those that are, you know, some little funny looking smurf walking the bridge all the time. What does it do they learn? Except to press buttons. And kids get so absorbed and hooked for 6 hours. I mean, they don't want food, they want that. There's a spirit involved. What kind of spirit? It's not those big guys, it's the small guys. The small little ones that get you hooked on that, on the thing. See, their main work is to distract you from the important things in life. The principalities cannot possess you, nor the powers. The principalities and power cannot possess you, but they will distract you. They distract you. They try to get your attention into something, hey, you hook into something else. And tremendous if you understand their work that they involve. See, there's a spirit behind in a lot of things that we don't realize. When you say spirit, when people say spirit, no, people think those big demons. No, a lot of you are the smaller demons that get you hooked into the wrong thing. So that it takes your time. And if you have less time, you have less time with the Lord. It takes away your desire for the Word. You are so preoccupied with the wrong thing. Now, there are some things that are natural when you start, But when you go further, it becomes a spirit. I love to play chess, but I was chess mad before I came to know the Lord. There's a spirit involved. Not that the spirit possesses you, remember that. When you say there's a spirit involved, only when you talk about the ruler of the darkness of this age, you talk about possession. But there are lower spirits whose primary task is to keep you so preoccupied with some game or something that you got no more time for the Lord. There is a football game. It's good. Play it, you know, as an exercise. But then when you get hooked on football, I mean day and night, guess who gives you some of the football dreams? So that when we say football, it sounds like the dog that Pavlov has. When Pavlov rang the bell, the dog's saliva drips. The dog is trained that when the bell rings, food is coming. So even if there's no food, you ring the bell, ding, 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 the saliva. And you know dogs, they really salivate. And so he's mentioned, football, your saliva comes out. Your hook, my friend. Anything that is harmless, no, golf, chess, or any of these things, or listening to pop music, or some of these things, right? At the lower level, there's no possession involved. But there are these spirits that are involved that get you hooked, so that you got no time for God, no time for the important things of eternity. And all your time, every day and night, is just distracted by all this worldly stuff. You can get hooked on all kinds of things. Some women get hooked onto the house spirit. Excuse me, I'm not talking about possession. I mean, they're so house proud that it preoccupies their mind. And everybody in the house is miserable. Cannot be a home. Don't spill the coffee on my table. Don't put your fingerprints on my mark. I mean, it's hard to live. Right? Now, I'm not talking about being ugly and dirty in the house. I mean, you know, all things have a balance and an extreme. Right? There's a balance that, you know, a home is a home. I mean, the things of life do have a wear and tear. So there's a certain realm where you can keep it neat and proper. I mean, keep it neat and proper by all means. But don't move to the other extreme where it becomes something that you hook on. So when people say generally a demon is involved, don't get the impression that a person is possessed. A lot of the things that happen in this world, there are spirits involved. A lot of it is the principalities and powers. Some of it, the possession, the wicked ruler of the darkness of this age, is involved. And as long as you know the distribution, the system, and how they operate, it's easy to combat them. It's easy to combat them. Principalities and powers cannot possess you, but they can distract you and get you hooked onto some harmless game or harmless activity so that you don't have time for God. The wicked ruler of this age, sole purpose is to possess human soul. And they do everything to get into human soul and open the door for the other spirits to come in. Like the legion. And that is why when you cast out demons, even if a person has 1,000 demons, there's only one key guy among them. You don't have those who have the wrong teaching think that if a person has 1,000 demons, you've got to cast them out one by one. Try casting 1,000 demons one by one. It may take you 3 months to finish. And in those 3 months, you're so preoccupied with that case, that you've got no time for other things. Let's say a person has 6,000 demons, and you cast out 3 a day. Do you know how many years it takes? Imagine occupied with that one case. How are you to preach the gospel, my friend? Jesus cast out 6,000 demons in one go. And he said, the works that I do, you shall do also. Today, some people have 10 demons. People have to cast out one by one. Come out! What's your name? Timbuktu. Come out! What's your name? Kukabara. Come out! You know? Ask one by one. If you got 6,000 of them, it wears you out. The Christians are not warring the right warfare because they are unscriptural. Among all, I don't care what their names are. Whether their name is Kukubara, Ting Tutu, or something like that, excuse me if it happened with your name. I don't mean you. And all these funny names, only one of them is the main ruler. If you deal with that one, all the rest comes out. Always, only one key demon controls a person's life. All the rest are under that guy. And if you cast out the main one and command all the rest to get out, they will get out all together. So it's easy when we understand his structure. Like Jesus, when he dealt with a man with a legion of demons, one command, he only, remember, he was rebuking the main one who answered him, who was called the legion. When the main one came out, all the 6,000 came out. Very easy for Jesus. That's the way that demonic world is structured. And as we go into this series, we're going to see more and more methods that we deal in demonology, unscriptural methods, scriptural methods, so that we could have firm foundation. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your precious word. And we pray, O God, that you continue to enlighten each one of us as regarding the authority that we have as a believer. We thank you, Father God, that you cause us to know the power that is in the name of Jesus. And you cause your people to walk in victory, fearless of demonic powers, because they know the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Let the revelation reign, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together and sing that song, in the name of Jesus. 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 We have the victory. God bless you. Amen.